Marriott Bonvoy is the official hotel partner of US soccer. Join Marriott Bonvoy today to get closer to the game with exclusive perks, unforgettable experiences, and benefits that go beyond the pitch. Spring Hill Suites, part of Marriott Bonvoy, offers complimentary hot breakfast and spacious all-suite accommodations, perfect for the whole team, with room for up to 6 guests. Make your next getaway a win. Learn more at springhillsuites.marriott.com.
Welcome to the Boneyard with Steve Robertson. As always, I am your good friend and host, Steve Robertson, here on the Hump Day edition of The Yard. It's been a busy Wednesday. A lot to talk about today. We had a full day over at jeanspage.com. Not done yet either. But nevertheless, yeah, a lot of good things going on. And we're going to talk about some of those today. As you guys are probably aware by now, Mississippi State announces plans for the new football-only IPF, a much-needed facility. We're going to talk about that in length. Also, Chris Simonis releases a statement to the Mississippi State fan base offering his gratitude for the years that we shared the path together. A couple of things we'll talk about. We'll talk maybe a little football recruiting before we get out of here. Top 10 list today, when we're going to revisit due to some news that's popped up today. But nevertheless, glad you're here with me. You could be anywhere in the world, but you're here with me. I appreciate that. I do. Let's thank our friends at Bulldog Burger Company, longtime sponsors of the show. We love Bulldog Burger Company. We do. We love them, and they love us. It's a great relationship. It's mutually beneficial. How many other relationships have you had in your life that have been so loyal and esteeming as the one you have with Bulldog Burger Company? They're always there when we need them, whether it's a lunch date with friends or work colleagues or a night out with friends or family. You can have an adult beverage. You can have just a family night at Bulldog Burger Company. Find your own favorites there. A lot to choose from. Get the spring rolls as your appetizer. They'll make you and everybody around you better looking. It's true. You know this. So make the world a more beautiful place by getting the spring rolls. It is your duty. It is. In addition to that, find a great restaurant quality hamburger that suits your taste for that day. They change. You know, some days you may need a little more protein. So maybe the smokehouse is a way to go. Maybe you're just feeling like it's a regular day. Well, get the Bulldog. Or maybe you just need a little kick in the pants, right? Get that Pimentology Ed Bacon. It will put some hair on your chest. It's true. Get that chocolate shake to go, and you can ride that ride home with a smile. Bulldog Burger Company has 3 great locations to serve you. University Drive in Stark Vegas, Gloucester Street there in Tupelo, Lake Harbor Drive in the Ridge and Flowood area. Bulldog Burger Company, the place where people go to meet. M-E-A-T. Okay. The big news of the day, Mississippi State announcing plans for the IPF. And it's so interesting. You know, we wondered, you know, where the money would come from. And got a lot of seed money. I'm told they're not going to release the amount of the donation. But the Howard family of Howard Industries, it's a name that you guys know well, right? One of Mississippi's top employers. One of the biggest companies in the state of Mississippi. They kind of specialize in those transformers and transportation and all kind of cool stuff. Absolutely outstanding stuff. And to think it all kind of started at Mississippi State. What's coming back home to Mississippi State? The Billy W. Howard Senior Indoor Practice Facility, I think officially we're going to call it the Performance Center, right? The Billy Howard Performance Center. I think that's going to be the official name. That's what I was told. Billy W. Howard Senior Performance Center. And we'll come up with a nickname for it. You know, but we'll probably just call it Howard. Right? We're going to go over to Howard. But Billy Howard, a 3-year letterman at Mississippi State, played for Allen McKean. Basically, all of the big names that you know in Mississippi State history have had some interaction with Billy Howard. Billy Howard is an institution, an absolute institution. And one of the leaders in business in the great state of Mississippi. And what a generous donation When they told me whose name was going on the facility, I said, it's perfect. It's perfect. It's perfect. Because of the fact, this was a former player in multiple sports. It is a man that has been incredibly successful in business. He and his wife, Linda, the entire Howard family have just done tremendous things in the name of Mississippi State for the great state of Mississippi. And the Howards have always kind of been there when we've needed them. That's an important aspect of this. And I think this, in many respects, is kind of a parting gift in some respects. You know, Mr. Billy, not a spring chicken anymore, but I think it's a wonderful thing. Now, people wonder, well, okay, well, how's this all going to happen? You know, well, it's going to take a little time. It is. But, you know, we've got to get a few things together. It'll go before the IHO board next month. And it'll be approved. I mean, you know, it always is. They can kind of let us do what we want. But there is some bureaucracy that we have to go through. But construction is expected to begin in 2027. So 2 years from now, we'll clear some dirt and things like that. We'll have the big ceremony. And we'll go out there and we'll break ground. And the next thing you know, that thing will get underway. It'll take about a year to construct. And the hope is to have it ready for the summer of 2028. So about 3 years away, and these projects take some time. You know, number one, we got to dress it all out. There's been some renderings that were shared, but they were very preliminary. I'm told some of that is going to be correct, but some of it's not. Now, this is going to be built on, if you've been to the Mississippi State Practice Facility, right next to the SIL complex, there is the turf field that we use pretty regularly. It's going to go there. Now, we're not going to have like an ice sculpture or a lazy river or, you know, a roller coaster, a slip and slide. We're not doing any of that stuff. Okay, this is going to be a very functional facility. Everything in it is going to be designed with care to help our Mississippi State football student athletes and our coaches. In addition, there are going to be some renovations to SIL on the lower level. We're not going to do anything that impacts like the coaching offices or anything like that. But there is some room underneath SIL that we use at times to kind of store equipment and things of that nature. So we're going to redo a lot of that stuff, and we're going to set up kind of some recovery suites for physical recovery in SIL. So it's not just we're going to build Howard. We're going to use this project over the course of the construction to do some much-needed things at the SIL complex. So this is a great thing. This is a day of celebration for Mississippi State football. And one of the things that I think about, like when we've talked about the LED lights, everybody's like, well, there's money this, money that. And good on Zach Selman for going out and securing funding and a big donation. I'm told it's the largest athletic donation in school history. And that's saying something. That is saying something. And again, we're on pace to have a record year in donations, and we're not even halfway through the year. Going to have a record year in donations. And that's what you hired Zach Selman for, right? That's what his background is in fundraising. And one of the things that we talked about when he and I sat down and had a conversation about facility management, facility construction, is he goes, hey, it's not just going out there, you know, writing a check, you know, from what you have that is, you know, liquid resources. You want to find somebody to kind of give you some seed money. You want to have some people that kind of are involved in all of that, and you just kind of sell the naming rights to it and allow them to kind of pay for a lot of it. And that appears to be kind of the plan. And it's so interesting, just earlier this week, Paul Feinbaum, who's had me on his show before, that doesn't mean I have to agree with everything he says, I don't, basically said that we weren't equipped to compete in the Southeastern Conference. And then you find out today that there is a $60 million facility going up to aid in the advancements of Mississippi State football. And so it's one of those things where you probably should wait a little bit before you issue the hot take. And this is something, let's be honest about this too. And this is, you know, we talk about, you know, timing. And I think it may work out better this way. Mike Leach, when Mike first got here, we talked about building a new IPF. And Mike said, I'm not going to use the one you got. There's no rush on this. I'd rather have this. I'd rather detail out, you know, the SEAL complex. I would rather improve this or improve that, do some things to help on the player amenity side. So we kind of put our money there and kind of tabled the whole idea of building an IPF. Now, Palmero was built back in 2006. And basically, for the last decade, we just hadn't done much to it. And the players do spend a lot of time in there. They do. I mean, basically, and let's be honest about this, and I don't know how many IPFs you've toured. I've toured most of them in the Southeastern Conference. And it's basically kind of a barn, right? It is. You put some decals up, you put some turf down, you put some good lighting in, you go to work. I mean, it's not as frilly as one might think. Like even the brand new one at Auburn, which I think is probably state of the art, but it's really more of the amenities around it. The facility itself, the IPF, is just very functional. And that's really what you have. I mean, if you've been to LSU's IPF, it's I don't even think it's 100 yards. I think it's a 60-yard facility. You go to Alabama, it's basically Palmero without the maroon decals. It's not like we're just getting crushed on the IPF. And, of course, some people say, well, you know, we don't have a football-only IPF. We have used the one we have with Palmero a great deal. But here's the thing that we've learned in recent years. There are a lot of people that want to use that facility. And so it's not like football can just say, okay, we're going to go practice in there today. There's a schedule, and there shouldn't be, right? And that's what having a football-only IPF can do for us. Football can do whatever it wants to, whenever it wants to, without any issues. And again, this is a couple years away, and there's going to be some changes, of course, to Palmero. And now that we don't have, you know, football using that, that's one of those things down the road that we're going to do. We're going to make some changes there too. And so, because of the fact it's not going to be shared with football and baseball, there'll be some things that we'll do to kind of make it just more baseball friendly. And again, it's basically a place where you can take BP and, you know, play some ragball and things like that. You can get some work in there, but that's down the road. But because of the fact that football will have its own IPF, and that was really, if you go back to the master plan that was released some time ago, you know, the first step in this before we could do anything really new for baseball, and we don't need to do a whole lot for baseball right now, we had to get the IPF. That was step one in this process. Get the IPF built, and then that frees up some room for us to do some other things with baseball at Duty Noble and with Palmero Center. And so there is a plan in place, and now you're seeing the plan be executed. Now, a lot of those things in that master plan are probably not going to happen while Zach Selman's here. And you say, is Zach leaving? Well, you never know. I mean, Zach's a younger guy. But some of that stuff is probably a decade or so out. Do I think Zach Selman's here in 10 years? Probably not. You know, because it's just the nature of things. That's not in any way to start any rumors. But, you know, there are going to be some things that change. Our needs evolve over time, right? Who knew, you know, 10 years ago that we would need a dedicated facility for baseball analytics? Who knew that we would need office space for somebody to basically kind of shore up our NIL stuff? We didn't know. And so as things evolve, by building this IPF, it gives us some latitude. It gives us some room to operate and kind of do some things the way we want to. You know, that's a big part of it, you know. And so I share that with you because, number one, this is a day of celebration. Many of you that didn't write a check but have a vested interest in Mississippi State sports said, you know what, Steve, I just think from a recruiting standpoint, we really need this. Right? We really need this. And you're right. And one of the things that I go back to, and when I had my conversation with Zach Selman this morning, it's one of the things that I mentioned to him. Dan Mullen, you know, took this job really not knowing how special Starkville was. And listen, we're an acquired taste. I mean, there are some people that, maybe Starkville's not for them, and that's okay. You know, there's some other places around the country that aren't for me. It doesn't make them any lesser just because I wouldn't want to live there, right? But I love it here. And Dan Mullen said something to me, I guess about 2 years in. Yeah, he goes, man, if we can ever just get kids to campus. you know, a lot of people think we're just sitting around cutting up film in a single wide trailer, you know, like we did in the Rocky Felker days. They don't understand how nice a campus we have. It is, we have a beautiful campus. And so then we've been build the SEAL complex, and they could not wait to get in there. And then all of a sudden we build SEAL, and people think, hey, this is a sign we're going up. And you know what happened after that? We began to recruit at a higher level because we're demonstrating we're making a financial and resource commitment to football. And so now here we go again, right? I'm not going to sit here and tell you that, you know, we're about to go to number one in the country again. But again, we have this wonderful little town where everything is kind of centered around Mississippi State. And there are a lot of people, recruits, who come in and say, man, I love Starkville. I love it. And other people are like, well, it's a little bit small. And you know what? That's okay. We're not for everybody, and everybody's not for us. We don't need everybody to pick us to make us feel good about ourselves. But I think this is a incredibly important day in the future of Mississippi State football, because, you know, not only are we going to have one of the newer IPFs in the conference, but when these recruits begin to make the rounds, it's like, hey, well, look, Mississippi State is building. What are you guys doing, right? Oh, well, we're just putting more money in NIL. You know, you got to do both. You got to have a balance. And that's one of the things that we talked about when the NIL became to be a bigger player in every bit of this, is the, you probably are going to see the facilities arms race slow down. And maybe this gives Mississippi State an opportunity to kind of get an edge. And I'm proud of Zach Selman. I am proud of him and his crew for making this happen, because, you know, we talk about these things a lot. But, you know, it's one thing to draw up some renderings. It's one thing to go meet with the donorship group and say, hey, this is our dream. It's another thing to put a shovel in the dirt. It's a much different deal. And to make this commitment like this and kind of give you a timeline, we've already lined up some people, some architecture firms, to kind of put some things together for us to make sure this is exactly what we want it to be. So there is a commitment now. It's no longer just something we're talking about. Now it's something that we are about. And it's a great thing. It's a great thing. And this matters so much more than the minutiae, right? But again, this was kind of the linchpin. This is the first step towards kind of executing the master plan. And again, we got to take care of football first, because football takes care of everything else. Now, of course, here in about 3 years, those seat licenses at Duty Noble Field are going to expire. And a lot of people don't even understand how that works. There were a lot of people right out of the gate that bought those 10-year seat licenses and gave us some seed money to help build the stadium. Well, those tickets haven't generated any revenue, right? And so when the 10 years are up, in order to renew those tickets, you know, there's going to be some more income. And then Mississippi State baseball will go back to being very much self-sufficient in many respects. You see some things out there, a lot of people that speculate about numbers, and there's always some creative accounting out there. But, you know, we're a little less than breaking even right now in baseball. And we'll talk a little bit about some baseball stuff as we get into the Lamonis section of the show. But I think it's important that for the casual fan that maybe doesn't keep up with things on the message board culture, and this is something, again, for years that we have discussed that we felt like we needed, and the administration agrees, and now here we are. And when you look around this league and you look around and see what everybody else is doing, the thing that I will commend Zach Selman on, in addition to his fundraising, is the fact that when there is a need to find money, he has found a way to find money. And that's another reason why I'm not panicking about this baseball coaching search. There's some things we're going to have to change. It's true. And I think, you know, when you have a coaching change, it gives you a chance to kind of right the ship in that respect. It's like, you know, hey, we may have been lagging here and lagging there. And maybe we were like, hey, we got to get football going, right? But now you can kind of, you know, reset the deck a little bit, because you're going to make a coaching hire in baseball. And that'll probably correct some things. And I'm not going to get into a lot of details with that. But, you know, our baseball funding, I don't think it's exactly where it should be. But it's certainly not as bad as some people suggested it is. But yeah, this is a big, big day for Mississippi State. And if you've read the comments, and if you haven't, you know, free article over at jeanspage.com, certainly through the university. But, you know, I spend a little more time in my article kind of talking about the Howards, you know, to kind of, for those of you that maybe have only heard about Howard Industries, maybe you didn't know the connection between the Howard family and Mississippi State. So I wanted to kind of illustrate that, for especially for you young bucks that probably haven't even heard from Howard Industries, except for when you got ready to go look for a job. Maybe you were going to get a job in electrical engineering, which is what Billy did. And went to work for Mississippi Power. We went to work as a school teacher for a while.
Marriott Bonvoy is the official hotel partner of U.S. Soccer. Join Marriott Bonvoy today to get closer to the game with exclusive perks, unforgettable experiences, and benefits that go beyond the pitch. Spring Hill Suites, part of Marriott Bonvoy, offers complimentary hot breakfast and spacious all-suite accommodations, perfect for the whole team, with room for up to 6 guests. Make your next getaway a win. Learn more at springhillsuites.marriott.com.
Took a job with Mississippi Power and then with General Electric, and then decided, you know what, I think I'm going to make my own company, and pushed to have this bond issue passed out in Jones County and built this incredible factory. It's now become a billion-dollar company. I mean, just let that sink in for a second. One of our former football players spent his life making the world a better place. I think the numbers that I saw, that they sell transformers and electrical equipment to like 113 countries. There are Howard transformers in all 50 states. And now, some of those resources are going to help Mississippi State football. It's really a hero's tale in many respects. And it's one of the things we always hope, right? I mean, of course, the newer, more recent players that, you know, they got financial advisors and people like that and say, hey, you know, listen, you don't need to go give your money to this. We'll give it to this. And everybody thinks Dak should go write us a big check. I get it. But anyway, this is a prime example of a Bulldog through and through coming back in the legacy years of his life and saying, hey, you know what? I've been very generous to Mississippi State, but here is a lasting legacy type donation that'll have his name on it. And so forever and a day, as we move forward, we'll begin to think about that Howard family. You know, and so that name will live forever, even long after Mr. Billy, Miss Linda are gone. Their generosity to our football program will forever be remembered. That's a wonderful thing. I mean, it truly is. I mean, we don't just put people's names on building for the heck of it, right? You just don't do it that way. And so I'm incredibly proud. I'm incredibly impressed and incredibly grateful, as I know you are too. And I've seen so many people that have out there said, hey, that tag people on Facebook and say, hey, man, thanks to the Howard family. Tag some of the Howards. How wonderful this is. And on behalf of a grateful Mississippi State family, Mr. Billy, we thank you and everybody connected to you and all the generosity that you have bestowed upon our athletics programs for years. And it hadn't just been with us. You're just great people. I don't know if you guys know this, but some of their employees were kind of part-time students. And did you know that the Howards paid for their tuition and books? Because they wanted those folks to be educated and to earn a college degree and not just be, you know, a factory worker, you know, right? And that's noble work, don't get me wrong. But, you know, there are a lot of companies out there that wouldn't believe in continuing education, but the Howards, not only did they encourage it, they paid for it. And so when I think about how this has all kind of come to pass, it just seems so incredibly perfect to me. It does. To have a family that has been so generous to Mississippi State, but also so innovative in the great state of Mississippi, to give thousands of Mississippians a chance to make a living, a good living, working for them, it just couldn't be any better. Those are my honest feelings about that. I don't know that we could have had somebody that we partnered with and we have partnered with for so many years. There's so many Mississippi State alums that work for Howard Industries. And I think it's important for us to kind of understand, you know, who the Howards are and who Billy Howard was, you know, as a player, to understand this is the rightful way to go. There's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. To have someone that has meant so much to the great state of Mississippi, to have their name on our football indoor practice facility, I think is so incredibly important. And when I was told, I was like, I couldn't even contain my excitement. I was like, this makes perfect sense. Perfect sense. And now I can't wait to see it. You know what I mean? It's like I'm ready to see all the renderings. Of course, they're not finalized yet. I'm ready to take the tour. You know, I'm ready to go in there and have the opportunity to cover some practice from time to time, hopefully. Maybe there's an observation deck that we can go. Because Palmero, it's just not functional for us to be on the sidelines with all the footballs flying out there. Maybe there'll be an observation deck in this one, and we could go watch some practice from time to time. And maybe you can too. But you should be proud. And we talk so much about we need something to feel good about. We do. This fan base has been through so much in the last few years. And you just feel like, man, nothing good ever happens to us. Well, then now here we are. And this is something where one of our own, in concert with our administration, have said, okay, here's something, here's evidence of a brighter Bulldog future. And if you can't hear it in my voice, I am absolutely geeked about this. And I think it's one of those things, too, when I think about, you know, the young people of my generation, you know, we came to Mississippi State and, you know, we kind of got by on a shoestring budget, right? We were just kind of happy to be here. And in my lifetime, things have changed. You know, the expectations have changed. And I am not a poor old state person. And I don't like that mentality that some people possess. And I think today really kind of drives a stake in the heart of that old poor old state mentality. We are not poor old state. We are not just lucky to be here. And I think this is a sign of a brighter future for Bulldog football. Because you think about, you know, the young people of today, you know, this thing's not going to open for, you know, 3 years or so. We're not going to really start construction for another year. But not going to be functional for almost 3 years. So, you know, the high school freshmen of this year, they will have the opportunity over the course of their high school careers to come to Mississippi State. And as they come for football functions and they come for camps and things of that nature and come to be a part of practice, they're going to have a chance to kind of watch this thing develop. And there's going to be a level of excitement with that. There are a lot of people out there that, you know, built IPFs 20 years ago that are pretty antiquated. I know. I've seen them. And now all of a sudden we're going to have something newer and nicer. And you can say, yeah, well, Steve, you know, there's some benefit in kind of being first. Well, you know, we had Palmero. And Palmero, believe it or not, is on par with much of the league. But now we're going to have something even nicer. And it's going to be nicer than a lot of our contemporaries. And I think that's one of those things when you talk about recruiting. And so much of it is about NIL. But as we talk about with baseball recruiting, you know, Duty Noble can be the tiebreaker. You know, when there's a player choosing between maybe us and LSU or Arkansas, and you know, Duty Noble probably gives us a bit of a lift there. And now on the football side, there's an opportunity for us to get a little bit of a lift there. It's like, hey, you'll be, you know, part of the first class to ever have an opportunity to enjoy this brand new state-of-the-art indoor practice facility. And so, yeah, we're finally getting it done, but it appears we're doing it right. And how many times in your lifetime? I'm like, and honest to goodness, you know, when we saw the initial renderings of Duty Noble, I said, we will never build this. We'll build something, but we'll never build it quite like this. And you know what we did? We built it exactly like we wanted to. And that's one of the things in my generation that I'm very pleased is that we don't just have of a, well, it's just good enough mentality, right? It's not just good enough. Because if we felt that way, then things would never truly be good enough. I believe Mississippi State is capable of great things. And I'm glad that we have some leadership that believes she's also deserving of great things. which I think will lead to even bigger and brighter things. And I hope that you share my same level of enthusiasm about this. Whether you had anything to do with this project or not, you are part of it. You are part of it, and you will benefit from it. And so for those of you that are so quick to email the administration when maybe something's not quite right, I hope that you'll have that same energy in sending messages of encouragement and saying, hey, I didn't believe it was going to happen, but here we are. Here we are. And now we have a name for the facility. We have a timeline for the facility. And now we know this is a real thing and not just something that we put, you know, on a dry erase board and said, hey, one day we want to do this. We're doing it. We're doing it. And it should be something you should be proud of. Well, I guess we don't have any alternative but then to name the Close with Blair player of the week is one Billy Howard. How about that? And the Howard family, you know, not just Billy, but his brothers and his sons also played at Mississippi State. So I guess we can honor the Howard family as they so richly deserve. Blair Chandler is my friend, your friend, our collective friend in the mortgage industry. Here's his number just between us girls, 601-500-2344, 601-500-2344. Whether you're looking for your first home, your next home, or your retirement home, Blair Chandler is the name to know. 24 years of experience in the mortgage lending industry. Don't overthink it. A lot of people vying for your business. Just keep it simple. Stick with a winner. Stick with Blair Chandler. Get his 24 years of expertise and know-how working for you. He can be your advocate with underwriting and ensure that you get to the closing table when so many others are just hoping to get lucky. Get that pre-qualification letter from Blair. Really see your real estate agent get motivated knowing exactly what you're approved for. You're not wasting your time or theirs when you know exactly what is feasible for you with that debt-to-income ratio. That's something that Blair will explain to you. We just had a Boneyard loan close last week and get a few of those each year. You could be the next to have the dream of home ownership come true for you. Trust in Blair Chandler. Trust in closewithblair.com. Time now for today's top 10 list. It's always brought to you by Calido Guitars. That's C-A-L-I-D-O guitars.com, a Mississippi State-owned and operated company out of Lake Jackson, Texas. I like to keep business in the family whenever we can, and the folks at Calido Guitars are giving you some incentive to do that, right? Be sure and visit them online. Again, calidoguitars.com. Whether you're looking for a new guitar, that could be electrical, classic, electric, and whether it's a beginner guitar or a professional guitar, they can meet your needs. They have all of the accessories you need, a guitar case, gig bag, strings, everything. And when you purchase from them, if you do it online or over the phone or in person, give them promo code BSR. You know what that stands for. And what that does is it triggers some incredible savings for you. 10% off your purchase price with that promo code. Also, no tax unless you live in the state of Texas and free shipping. How cool is that? Yeah, for sure. There's no doubt about it. In addition to that, they're going to make a 5% donation of your purchase price to the Bulldog Initiative / Bulldog Excellence Fund to ensure that Mississippi State puts competitive teams on the field and courts of play in years to come. What a great incentive from Calido Guitars. Be sure and meet up with them today. Okay, so we have had some bad news today. As you guys are aware, those of you that are fans of modern-day rock music, as Brad Arnold, lead singer from Three Doors Down, announced that he has stage 4 cancer. Now, he's been very positive about it and says that, hey, you know, I'm not scared of this. We're going to beat this. We are going to have to cancel the tour while we deal with it. And we have done a Three Doors Down list before, but we're going to do another one, kind of shake it up a bit, because somebody messaged me shortly after I did the first one and said, Steve, you blew it. You know, you blew it. And you missed one, and he was right. So we're going to fix that on today's show. But we want to offer our most heartfelt thoughts and prayers and support to Brad and his family. Had a chance to see those guys in Brandon some time ago, and the homie Sam Denton went right down front. And after it was over, Brad saw me and smiled and came over and thanked me for coming. I'm going to try to play Brad's message for you guys if I can get this loud enough. We'll give it a shot.
Hey, everybody. It's Brad from Three Doors Down. I hope you're having a great day today. Got some not-so-good news for you today. And so I'd been sick a couple of weeks ago and then went to the hospital and got a guy checked out and had actually got the diagnosis that I had a clear cell renal carcinoma that had metastasized into my lung. And that's it's stage four, and that's not real good. But you know what? We serve a mighty God, and He can overcome anything. So I have no fear. I really sincerely am not scared of it at all. But it is gonna force us to cancel our tour this summer, and we're sorry for that. And I'd love for you to lift me up in prayer every chance you get. And I think it's time for me to maybe go listen to my time a little bit, right? Thank you guys so much. God loves you. We love you. See you.
There you go. There it is, directly from Brad himself. And so we're going to kind of lift Brad up today. And a Mississippi guy from Escatawpa, Mississippi. Those guys have made us awfully proud over the years. And it's the very least we can do. Maybe jam some Three Doors Down as part of your daily playlist as you begin to think about Brad. And when those moments, when that song comes up on the playlist, maybe offer up a prayer for Brad and his family. And so I share that with you because we are extremely connected. And we've got a platform, want to bring people, you know, bring attention to it. I hope the clarity of that message came through. But nevertheless, we're going to do Three Doors Down again today. And again, it kind of gives me a second whack at this, you know, after I missed a couple things. And we're going to abide by Brad's wishes with part of it. So here we go. Three Doors Down, Top 10 Revisited, brought to you by Kalito Guitars. All right, let's see if we can get this note open. It's so interesting how this stuff works. All right, number 10, it's Let Me Go. And if you guys have ever been in those situations, you know, before, you've been in a bad relationship or something of that nature, Let Me Go is probably the song for you. The number 9, we're going to go with a track off an album maybe you don't know as well. The last full-length album released by Three Doors Down was Us and the Night from 2016. Of course, they've gone out and played all over the country without a lot of new music here as of late. But the lead single on that album was In the Dark, and which is also an interesting Netflix series if you hadn't seen it. But In the Dark, number 9 on your list. Now, you're going to know the top 8. We may disagree with where they are on the list. But number 8, my very first tattoo, this song was playing as my beautiful bride watched me get her name tattooed on me. But anyway, it's Every Time You Go. And I can't count how many times I listened to this on my way to New Mexico when she was out there. I still don't understand how I agreed to any of that. But I did. Never again, though. Which leads me to number 7. I remember passing through Little Rock, Arkansas. And just I wanted to listen to the song. I was on my way to Albuquerque. And I was tired of being away for my wife, and you guys heard about it on the show many times, but I remember this poignant moment, and I put on that song, Here Without You, and it's just one of those things, it just marked that moment for me, and so I have a memory of that, and it's so interesting, you know, when you think about your life and the soundtrack of your life, and I begin to think about how many times that Three Doors Down has had a single on that soundtrack And they always seem to have the song that fits, right? There's something for every mood in the catalog. But many of you have heard that song too. Number 7, Here Without You. Number 6, When I'm Gone. And one of the things that I loved about this one so much is the video. Love this song, man. But I love the fact too that they basically dedicated that video to our men and women of the armed forces. And we thank them for doing a job that most of us would never want to do and keeping us safe, allowing us to get out here and argue over the internet about things that don't matter. They're out there putting their lives in harm's way, not to mention their families having to go to bed every night, hoping they don't get a phone call. It's a tough life, man. We don't say thank you enough. So to all of you in the armed forces, the men and women of our armed forces, we thank you and we love you and we can't wait to have you back home. Number 5, and this is a song about dreaming, man. And it's a song that Brad said that he had kind of worked on earlier in his life, you know, they were first kind of putting this band together, and it's a track called Be Like That. You know, it's like, if I could be like that, I would give anything, right? And how many times in our own lives have we had dreams we've given up on, right? I've got dreams. I've had so many of my dreams have come true, but there's still others, right, that I want to happen in my life. And there have been so many times, and I remember the day when Flim Flam debuted at number 1, I remember the Facebook post. I remember it almost verbatim. I said, these are the days that I've worked for and the moments that I've hoped for. To have a number 1 book, it was incredible. And we sold thousands of those books. And yeah, it was quite the debut, shall we say. But yeah, so that song has always meant a lot to me. Because I'm a person that believes in dreams. I believe, you know, it's kind of like Shannon Hoon told us, is, you know, when you stop dreaming, boy, it's time to die. You know, I've always got something to look forward to, and I need things to look forward to in my life. I am that kind of person. I am not comfortable just existing. Number 4, and I love the kind of the metal breakdown they do on this track. And I believe this was the second single off the Better Life album, if memory serves me correct. I believe that way back in 2000, man, it's hard to believe that album is 25 years old. And yeah, this was the second single, and it's Loser. Incredible, man. Incredible song. And number 3 was your gateway track, right? And Brad used to be a drummer. They decided we're going to put him out front. If you watch that video, he looks very awkward, like he hadn't got his moves down yet. But it's Kryptonite. And it's been redone in recent years, a little different. And I think it kind of gave the song some new life. It was Jairus Johnson that kind of did Kryptonite his own way. And a lot of people are like, hey, that's paying homage to Three Doors Down. And it is. Number 2, and this is a song that I missed the first time, and I had multiple people said, Steve, you blew it. This song may be the best song in the catalog. And you know what? You may be right. And I don't think a lot of casual fans know this song. And we've had it on some other list, but it is one of the most heartfelt songs that I have heard in my life. And it's Landing in London. It's your number 2 track today, Landing in London. And, you know, Bob Seger even sings backup on this track. I think you'll dig it. If you don't know it, put it on. It's like you got somebody in your life, you know, and it's sometimes work and life takes you away from them. And, you know, it's just like you're biding time to be back with that person. That's really what that song is about. It's like, all I think about is you. All this stuff is happening around me, but all I think about is you. And I feel that very deeply. And if you have ever truly loved somebody, when you put this song on, you're going to feel those feelings all over again. And I'm the person that I believe when you truly love somebody, you love them the rest of your life. Maybe you're not with them anymore. Maybe you don't have contact with them anymore. But there's a part of your heart that will remain with them forever. And there's a part of their heart that will remain with you. Now, I'll be honest with you, there's some of those pieces of my heart I wish I had back, But nevertheless, this is one of those very poignant songs about truly being in love and having to be away from the person you truly love. But number one, and this was Brad's request in his video for everybody to play, It's Not My Time. And that's basically what I'm not going, you know. It's a song of defiance. And I think one of the great things that we can do, and the better part of social media, is we can be an encouragement to each other. There's enough critics out there, right? There are enough of those Twitter trolls out there, just basically being, you know, rats on the streets of society that always want to stick somebody. Wouldn't it be great if we as Mississippians and we as rock fans flooded the Three Doors Down Twitter page with messages of encouragement for Brad? And the thing that I ask you is, what if it were you? What if it were you that got this diagnosis 2 weeks ago that you had stage 4 cancer and it just everything in your life had to stop because you had to stop and deal with this just to sustain your existence on this planet? What would you want? Right? Of course, you'd want an intervention from God, but you would want people praying for you. You would want people encouraging you, even if you're not a religious person. You would want people around you to bring positivity to your life, because there's a lot of negativity out there. And I'm a firm believer in prayer, but I'm also a big believer in community. And those are the things that I think about. When I have been at my lowest, I have gotten a message just out of the blue from somebody, whether it be a phone call or a text or a social media posting or something. There have been so many times that just when I needed it the most, people encouraged me. And so I feel a sense of obligation to encourage others. And I'll tell you guys, I wasn't having the best of days yesterday. Nothing compared to what Brad's dealing with. I wasn't having a good day. And so I go to Walmart and I'm waiting in line. There's a prescription I forgot to get filled last week. And so I went to go get that. And it's always a little bit of a hassle, you know. And I'm waiting in line and this guy stops me. And he goes, "Hey, Steve, I don't think you get enough praise, man. I appreciate everything you do and all the tact that you use. You know, with the Lamona situation, you did it with Leach. I just try to be a good person, man." Now, it didn't cost that guy anything to come up to me and tell me that he loved When the Bottom Falls, but he did, and it meant everything to me. Cost him nothing, meant everything to me. Turned my whole day around. I get home, and then I'm just scrolling through Facebook, and I saw a posting that I kind of lost. Right? It's like it comes up, and then like it updates. You know what I'm talking about? Like your feed will refresh. And I had to go back and search for it because there was a picture of the dude. And so I want to thank Bill Daniel. I don't know that I've met Bill Daniel. He lives in Starkville. Yes, I do know Bill Daniel. I do. Now that I look at his picture here, I know exactly. I know Bill. I see him all the time at Davis Wade Stadium at Duty Noble and seen him several times at the Starkville Touchdown Club. So yes, I do know Bill Daniel. But Bill Daniel's grandson, Patrick, had to do a report for his school in Helena, Alabama, and he chose to do Duty Noble. And there's a video of Patrick kind of explaining his project a little bit, and there's a copy of the dude behind him. And so I say that because, Bill, I can assure you that your message was well received here, and I shared on my own page because it was so moving to me. The whole point of me writing that book in the first place was to introduce Duty Noble to new generations, including my own, and I wanted to learn some things myself. And Cody's dad says, "How cool is this? Patrick did a report, and the author of the book references saw the post that Bill Daniel made and he shared it to his page. Patrick Lee, we are so very proud." As well you should be. And I am so incredibly honored, Patrick, so incredibly honored that you used my book as a source for your report about Duty Noble, one of the greatest athletes to ever play at Mississippi State. And so I share those things with you because I am a human just like you. And I have good days and bad. And if I want to, I can find something every day to feel sorry about, if I want to, but I just choose not to. You know, some days it gets to me. And yesterday was just one of those days where there's a lot of things. I'm so stressed. I mean, there's so much going on. Got to cover so much stuff. Got to produce a lot of content. And I just wasn't having a good day. I mean, it wasn't a bad day. I mean, compared to bad days in my life, yesterday was pretty good. But, you know, sometimes you just kind of get in a foul mood. And then lo and behold, you know, a guy comes up to me and says hello and thanks me for the work. And then somebody else makes a posting on Facebook, and you probably didn't even know that I would see it. And with all the, you know, content we produce, sometimes I don't see your messages. But I saw this one, and I'm a firm believer in the community of each other. Because you never know what somebody else is dealing with, what kind of day they're having. You know, it's so interesting. I have some people that kind of come and go in my life, right? The only time I ever hear from them is when they need something. But you know what? I'm glad when they need something. I'm not glad they had the need, but I'm glad they're back in touch. I'm glad to know that they're okay. And it gives me a chance to love on them a little bit, you know. And even if I can't fulfill the need this time, I can be an encouragement to them. And so I encourage you to be an encouragement to all the people that you can. And this is a scenario here where one of Mississippi's finest musicians needs our help. And so if you are so inclined, maybe go follow that Three Doors Down Twitter page and send Brad a message publicly. And let's be the grassroots movement publicly to help support Brad, and in hopes that he will read our messages, and maybe that gives him a little bit of the fuel he needs to keep fighting, right? Three Doors Down has been a big deal to a lot of us. It really has been. They're a great band who just happens to be from Mississippi, which makes them even cooler to us, right? You know, right down there, alums of Moss Point High School, right? And who knew, right? Who knew the little band down there from Escatawpa, Mississippi would travel the world and represent the great state of Mississippi. And so I just encourage you, if you were so inclined, to send a tweet their way and let them know you're thinking about them. And maybe you hadn't thought about Three Doors Down in a decade or so, you know, maybe 20 years. But I guarantee you at some point you went down the road and you jammed some Three Doors Down. So maybe let's return the favor a little bit with some support for Brad. All right, next segment of the show brought to you by Campus Bookmart, a Starkvillian institution. Man, we love Campus Bookmart. We do. And for good reason, because they have the things that we want when it comes to Mississippi State apparel, when it comes to detailing out your fan cave or buying a gift as a housewarming gift or wedding gift for a new couple. You need to rep the brand in every way possible, and you can do so by shopping at Campus Bookmart. Next time you're in town, go by and see their smiling faces. Miss Kathy Brown does an amazing job outfitting that place with the latest in Mississippi State wares. If you can't make it to town and want to support a Starkville business, and we always ask you to do that, visit them on the World Wide Web at campusbookmart.net. And by being a loyal Boneyard listener, we'll give you a phrase that pays, and that is BSR, which stands for Beautiful Steve Robertson. That gets you free shipping on all orders over $75. Any order less than $75, absolutely incomplete. All right, I would be remiss if we did not talk about the loss of former Mississippi State defensive back William Hardrick. And he was a guy that we basically signed as a preferred walk-on. He was the guy that Darcell McBath believed in. He came in, was here for a while, and then transferred to Miami of Ohio, and then ultimately to Austin Peay. Sadly, he was killed in a car accident coming home from school. I assume finals were over. He was on the way home from Austin Peay back to Birmingham, Alabama. I'm going to read you the report from WAFF. Dateline Limestone, County, Alabama. A man is charged with the murder of an Austin Peay football player in a deadly I-65 South wreck that happened on Tuesday night, according to documents obtained by WAFF. Limestone County Coroner Mike West said 22-year-old William Hardrick of Birmingham, Alabama, has been identified as the victim. Court documents reveal that John McAdams is charged with Hardrick's murder. He is also charged with leaving the scene of an accident and DUI. Court records show his field sobriety test showed 0.09% blood alcohol content, just over the legal limit. Hardrick was an Austin Peay transfer defensive back and previously played for Mississippi State and Miami of Ohio. Austin Peay coach Jeff Ferris says, "William Hardrick was an exceptional young man. Our team is heartbroken by his loss. He made everyone around him better, and he has made a real impact both on and off the field. We lift up the Hardrick family in prayer, and we grieve this tragic loss with them." West told WAFF, that's the coroner, "A vehicle traveling southbound on I-65 left the road, flipping several times, and the car was stopped on Piney Chapel Road. A man was pronounced dead at the scene. The man has now been identified as Hardrick." WAFF learned on Wednesday from the Alabama Law Enforcement Agency there were a total of 8 separate wrecks on I-65. The Alabama Law Enforcement Agency said the southbound lanes on I-65 from mile markers 334 to 361 were closed but have since been reopened. Anytime that we lose a young person that of any kind, there is always the question of why, right? And it's one of the things that I struggle with in life, to be quite honest with you, is I struggle to really kind of assess why young people die, and especially one that wore our school colors and did his best to make a contribution to our football team, just never really worked out here. But he wasn't run off for any other reason. You know, there's no scandal or anything like that. The bottom line is that Hardrick needed to go somewhere he could play, and apparently he had found a home at Austin Peay, and now his family is planning a funeral. Very difficult. And obviously we have some players on our team that have some connections with him. Not a whole lot of people that are left from when he was here, but there are some people that we care an awful lot about that have connections to him. And our thoughts and prayers go out to he and his family. All right, let's take a quick look at this letter. Coach Chris Simonis contacted me a couple days ago and said that he wanted to release a statement to all of you. We were honored to be able to do that. He goes, "Hey, can you get your graphics guy to put a graphic together?" There's a lot of text involved. So, you know, we wanted to make sure we did it right for Coach. And so he sent me, he goes, "Hey, Steve, you're a good writer. Do you mind looking over this?" And to be honest with you, the only thing I changed was the number of graduates this weekend, and that was at his urging. I felt that his letter should come in his words and really kind of unedited by me, and I thought he did an amazing job. So I want to read that to you now, if you haven't read it already. "To the Mississippi State family, it has been the honor of a lifetime to serve as the head baseball coach at Mississippi State University. As the son of a proud MSU graduate and lifelong fan of the Maroon and White, my earliest memories are filled with Egg Bowls, the sound of cowbells, and reading through my own copy of the Ron Polk playbook. This program has always been close to my heart, and having the chance to lead it has been nothing short of a dream come true. While we didn't accomplish every goal we set out to achieve, I take full responsibility for everything that happens within this clubhouse, on and off the field. It is a responsibility I never took lightly. I've been fortunate to coach some truly remarkable young men and to witness them create unforgettable moments at Duty Noble Field. The relationships built during this journey mean the world to me. These players have enriched my life in more ways than they will ever know, and I will always be here for them whenever they need me. This weekend, 14 of our players will graduate, an extraordinary achievement that reflects their dedication both on the field and in the classroom. Balancing the demands of Division I baseball with academic success is no small feat, and I couldn't be prouder of them. Throughout the offseason, I reminded our team that we were built to peak when it matters most. The adversity we faced has forged a stronger, more resilient group ready for the challenges of postseason baseball. I firmly believe in the leadership within that clubhouse, and I have every confidence in the future of this team. The coaching staff, Jake Gautreau, Kyle Cheeseborough, Justin Parker, and the rest of the group are not only exceptional baseball minds, but men of great integrity and heart. I am deeply grateful for their tireless work and unwavering loyalty. The most difficult part of stepping away is saying goodbye to the community we've come to love. I wasn't sure what to expect when we moved to Starkville, but it didn't take long for this special town to feel like home. Though other opportunities came along over the years, nothing ever felt like the right time to leave, because our hearts were here. I have no regrets about accepting the opportunity to lead this storied program. While there are always things one might wish to do differently, we shared countless meaningful moments together. None more special than that unforgettable night in Omaha in 2021, winning the first national championship in school history and celebrating on the streets of Omaha with the most passionate fan base in college baseball is a memory I will carry with me forever. Thank you for allowing me to be part of this incredible journey. I have no doubt that the program is in great hands, and I'll always be cheering on the Bulldogs no matter where life takes me next. End quote. Very classy letter, and again, you can see why I didn't want to touch it. I think it's perfect. I think it hits all the high points. And I think it's important for Chris to make a statement. I did not encourage him to make a statement. He contacted me and said, hey, I want to get something out there. And he wanted you to hear from him. And I have been in contact with Coach multiple times since he was fired, including about 5 minutes after I broke the news that he was fired. He called, and I wasn't sure if he was going to be angry or whatever, but he handled it like a pro. And since that time, he took a couple days. They went out to South Carolina, he and his wife. And I can only begin to imagine how difficult that is, right? Now, again, Chris Lemonis is not in a situation like many Americans. Like, if some people get fired today, they don't know how they're going to pay the rent come the first of the month, right? And so it's a much different dynamic. But here's the flip side of that. When you get fired, it's not national news within your industry, right? It's not a situation where people have varying opinions about the job you did. If you were worthy of the position, or if you should be terminated. And so there is compensation that goes along with having jobs on the big stage. And there are expectations that go along with them. And it's so interesting. I read some of the comments from some of the people out there, and I would say 99% of the comments about Lemonis' letter have been extremely positive. And I think that's what's happened, too. It's like now that the Band-Aid has been ripped off, now we've had, you know, 10 days or so, we kind of reflect and say, you know what? He is a good guy. He didn't win enough, but he's a good guy. But he did win a national championship for us, and nobody can ever take that away from us or from him. That's one of the things that I reminded him. That is going to be on your resume for the rest of your life. You're a national championship baseball coach. But yeah, he takes accountability in his conversations he's had with me. He goes, at the end of the day, it's my fault. You know, it is my fault. We didn't do enough. We didn't win enough. And he recognizes that. And I thought this letter kind of encapsulates who Chris is, but also, too, showed a lot of gratitude for all of your support. And certainly some of that support had waned in recent years. But it's not because you saw Chris as a bad person. You were just unhappy with losing. It's as simple as that. For many people, and I've seen so much of that, some people have said, you know, it's just... it's nothing personal. It's just that, you know, my love for Mississippi State baseball exceeds my loyalty to Chris Lemonis. And here's what I will say to that. I get it, right? I understand it. And as I've said on this show many times, so many people get so frustrated when people kind of lash out. And some of that could probably be measured a little bit better, right? Some of that could be dialed back a bit because there's some vitriol that gets thrown about too. But it's out of frustration, and it comes from a good place. I'm not going to defend all of that, but I will tell you, there are some of the people, one of my best friends, had become so incredibly negative about Mississippi State baseball, it kind of strained our friendship, to be honest with you. It did. And he would not talk to me after we won, which is interesting, right? He's like, I just think long-term, the better solution for us is to move on from Chris Lemonis. My contention was we need Chris to make it. We need, hey, beginning of this year, I said, hey, we need to be in the hosting discussion. I don't think he has to host to keep a job, but we need to be in the discussion and ensure that we're building. We can't take a step back. Well, we took a step back. And we may end up in a regional, but we certainly won't be hosting. And I think at the end of the day, many people were just tired of the roller coaster. And as a guy that is incredibly close to this program, I get tired of the roller coaster too. You know, and a lot of times you go out there and you write a story and say, this is what happened, and you can just be as factual as you want to be, and then people still lash out at you. And they compensate me for that too, right? That's part of the gig, and some people can't handle it. But the reality of it is I never take that stuff personal. I don't. But I think, you know, I'm going to be here. You know, until my health begins to fail, I'm going to be here at this microphone. I'm going to be on the website. I'm going to be on social media. I'm going to be at the ball game. But for many of the people that are involved, they're not going to be here. And I am sensitive to that. I think there is a modicum of respect for allowing people to leave with grace. I don't think we have to run people out of town on a rail. Now, there have been some people in my career that I would have happily gone and helped pack to get them off of our campus. But you would never have known that by listening to this show or reading my work. There are some people employed by Mississippi State right now that I don't think are worthy of the position. But you would never know that because I don't share those personal feelings with you, right? I may share them privately, but I won't share them publicly because I think me getting out of here and ranting and raving on a podcast doesn't change much. But when I go talk to people that are in administration and say, hey, this is insufficient, this is not getting it done, sometimes they listen. They may not hear me, but they always listen, right? And we may not always come to an agreement. But as you have heard me say many times, I don't want anybody, and I mean anybody, drawing a check from Mississippi State that is not fully committed to our collective success. And I know you feel the same way. And maybe you just don't have the platform to say it. And so when I go have these meetings, you know, I have people that hit me up all the time. I had a negative experience with this person or that person. I share every bit of that. True or untrue, I share it so they can address it, right? Because you need at times somebody to be, you know, your representative. And so I remember just last year that in one of the Facebook groups, there was a lot of complaints about the women's restroom on the west side at Davis Wade Stadium. I went and collected all those comments. I sent them to the appropriate parties. I followed up the next home game and found out that these issues had been corrected. And so I think it's important to understand some of these things should be fixed on the front end, right? It shouldn't take the squeaky wheel to get those things greased and ready to go, right? And that's one of the more frustrating things for me because I guess in some respects I'm very anally retentive when it comes to all that, and that's all of my years, I guess, from being in retail management. You know, I think I've shared with you guys before, one of the things that I used to do, I would be the first employee there every day, and I would walk my showroom, and I would make a list of all the things that were incorrect. And when the employees that were responsible for those sections came in, I went and walked them with them. And what you know what's incredible about that is when I first started doing that, when I get to a location, after a couple of weeks, I didn't have to do it as much because people learned what was acceptable. And that's one of the things that I have conveyed many times is many people are only going to perform at the level you make them. If you say this is acceptable, they will keep rising. If you raise the expectations, people will rise to meet them. And that's important to understand. I'm never going to be one of these people that think, well, it's just okay. That's okay. No. Everything we do has to be to the best of our ability. And that's one thing that I impress upon my employees today. Hey, there are certain foundational standards we have to meet every single day. There was a time in my career when I was just a feature writer at Jeans Page. Before I owned the company, I'm like, I just got to go write two or three stories a day. My day is done. That's not the case anymore. You know, anytime somebody loses their Paramount Plus password or somebody's phone updates and they can't log into the website, I got to deal with all that stuff. I got to broker these advertising deals. I got to go over all this general ledger stuff at the end of the month. It's not just writing a couple stories. Now, I don't think my production has dipped, but I understand a whole lot more about how our business operates, more than just writing a couple stories a day. But I insist that everybody write a couple stories a day. And I don't take much time off. There's a difference between driving your sheep and leading your sheep. Big difference. Big difference. You got to be a good shepherd. And when I go places, and my wife always says, don't say anything, and I don't, more times than not. But you know, you can usually tell the first 20 feet into an establishment how well the entire operation is run. Think about it. When you go out to eat, I mean, you walk out there, if there's debris in the lobby, you start thinking this place is a little bit sketchy, right? You start making excuses for people. They're busy. Nobody is too busy to keep a facility clean. Nobody. Nobody. And that includes our sporting venues. And so I'm not going to beat this dead horse for very long. But whenever we bring the new coach in, you know, we need to ensure that we are giving that person a chance to win at the highest level, to win another national championship. One that we earn, not one that anybody can say we got lucky with. We need to compete annually at the highest level possible. And that's one of the things that is a bit of an irritation to me, is we cannot impose standards on other people that we are not willing to impose upon ourselves. And so if you are involved or you are employed at Mississippi State, no matter what that job is, it needs to be at the highest level. We can't just expect our coaches and our players to perform at a high level and then excuse everybody else's mediocre performance. Those are my personal feelings, and it's something that I feel very strongly about. And yes, I will be a very vocal person about that to the appropriate parties. And it's not, to me, it's not something as simple as, you know, hey, well, let's just have somebody go out there and, you know, pass a rag, you know, the first week of the season, make sure there's no dust on the seats. To me, it's not as simple as that. It's not under rug swept. It is a daily commitment to excellence. And my personal opinion is, if people are not willing to meet that standard, and I don't care what facility they work in, I don't care what their job responsibilities are, if they are not willing to give all of themselves, then we need to go find somebody else. Period. We held Lamonis to that standard, right? We said, hey, we expect to win NAFL championships. He got us one. And then after we got one, we wanted another one really quick. I did. But it's interesting, there are a lot of other people around that are not held to that same standard. And he said, but Steve, they don't take the field. No, they don't. But they work in a service capacity. And they could make Duty Noble Field, the Humphrey Coliseum, and Davis-Wade Stadium the most welcoming environments in the country for our fans. And that's important to me. Maybe you feel differently. But one of the things that I try to go out of my way to do is when somebody in the event management group, when there's somebody, and I can't remember her name, but she's always at the gate in the Ridefield Plaza, the Atkerson Plaza. She is incredibly kind and friendly to me and to all of you. I make sure that that person's name, when I see it, I point that out to people. That's the kind of person that we need working at Mississippi State. I got some people, and I'll be honest with you, I don't need a whole lot to make me feel special, okay? And I don't need to be catered to. I just kind of need people to get out of the way and let me do my job. But one of the things that is kind of an annoyance to me, and I'm sure it is to you too, is there are people that are there that are supposed to be greeters that run the elevator or whatever. You know, it doesn't hurt to welcome me. It doesn't hurt to say hello. It doesn't hurt to say we're glad you're here. You know, I think in many respects it ought to be like going to Disney World. And you can save your political commentary. But, you know, when you go to, we talk about Disney being the happiest place on earth. You know, why can't we bring more of that into our athletic experience? It doesn't cost anything to be kind. My friend Robert St. John runs all those great restaurants in Hattiesburg. The best service in South Mississippi by far. And it's not close. Chick-fil-A could learn from the Robert St. John group. Absolutely could. And it's so interesting when they're hiring, it says hiring friendly people. Right? I don't just need somebody to man a post. I need somebody to welcome our fans. I need somebody to ensure that we're having a great experience. I know, listen, it's difficult to find good people these days, but that can't be an excuse for us. We have to demand it. We have to expect it in every aspect. Every single one of us. Final segment of the show brought to you by the Stark Vegas Clubhouse. The best place to stay in the Golden Triangle, bar none. If you're bringing a large group to town, let me tell you probably thought about that. Man, we want to get everybody together, but how are we going to get everybody together? You know, instead of going out and getting 5 and 6 hotel rooms or 5 and 6 Airbnbs, just everybody stay together. Because it's not just the events that bring you, it's the time in between dinner and the ball game when you can just kind of sit and visit or play some cards or whatever, or sit out by the fire, maybe have an adult beverage, right? Those are the moments that sustain our lives, right? It's true. So Google the Stark Vegas Clubhouse, and when you do, their Facebook page auto-populates. You can peruse all the pictures of all the amenities available to you and your guest. The full-service kitchen, the wet bar area, that great back porch area, it's incredible. And then the fire pit area, 6 bedrooms, 2, soon-to-be 3 baths. It's the best place to stay in the Golden Triangle. We stayed there for New Year's and had a ball. We did. It was so great just to have everybody together. Because, you know, sometimes people just kind of section off and talk and get caught up or whatever. But when it was mealtime, I can tell you the bride loved the fact that everybody was there. She got to go cook for everybody, right? And it's so funny. I remember when we were younger, she was probably looking forward to the days when she didn't have to do as much of that. But all of a sudden, we get everybody under one roof. She can't wait to do it. My wife is one of those acts of service type people. The way that she expresses love is to do things for the people she loves. You know, I'm more of a words of affirmation guy, so I need her to tell me all the time how much she loves me. But I don't need a lot. But the reality of it is you need your family, you need your friends, and you need to spend some time together. So you need to be a linchpin in your friend and or family group, and you make the plans. Don't, because if you're sitting around waiting for Aunt Becky to do it, your Uncle Buddy, it's not going to happen. You do it. You go check availability, and then you round up your group and say, hey, we're going to do this, and these are the weekends that we can do it, or this is the weekdays we can do it, and we'd love for you to be here. Summer's coming up, right? So we'd love maybe to just come to Starkville and enjoy some of our favorite restaurants when it's not quite so busy in the summer. And I can tell you, your Starkville merchants would love to see you this summer. And you come up and you just enjoy being in Starkville. Check it out today. Now, when you Google Stark Vegas Clubhouse, there's going to be some booking options that pop up, Airbnb, VRBO. But if you want to save some money, book through the Evolve website. And by booking through them, I can save you some money. Promo code BSR10, that's Beautiful Steve Robertson, the number 10. So BSR10 gets you 10% off your stay. What's better than that? A discounted rate because you're a friend of the family with the Boneyard, right? Check them out today, the Stark Vegas Clubhouse. The best place to stay in the Golden Triangle, just 5 minutes away from the Mississippi State campus. You can do your tailgating right there. Again, Stark Vegas Clubhouse. Check them out today. Okay. Not a lot to report on the coaching search. I will reiterate that we are looking for the right candidate. Now, that doesn't mean it's got to go be the up-and-coming assistant. That doesn't mean it's got to be the sitting Power 4 coach or the ascending G5 coach. We're going into this with an open mind. Now, ideally, we would like to have someone with head coaching experience, and I would submit to you that the number of assistant coaches that I expect to get an actual interview from Mississippi State is really, really small. I would say maybe 3, maybe. So less than a handful. And you got to know Will Coggins is going to be one of those guys. And there's a lot of people out there advocating for Will. I'm confident that he is in the mix. That doesn't mean he's going to get the job. Okay? That's important to understand. I know a lot of people out there are just very strong opinions about this. And, of course, Brian O'Connor, that name is consistently mentioned in connection with the job. And I wondered from the outset, is this going to be a scenario where he's just trying to enrich himself at our expense? You know, is he trying to get a better deal from Virginia? Is he trying to get more funding from Virginia? And I firmly believe if they would give him the funding that he desires, that he would probably stay in Virginia until he retired. And he's not some old guy. He's a year older than me. Now, I can promise you I'm not an old guy. I still got plenty of fire in the belly. But our people look and, you know, I guess they see the long hair of mine. They can't wrap their minds around the fact that Brian O'Connor is not in his 60s. He's not. Probably would be here 10 years if we let him. And there are a lot of people out there that have strong opinions. If Brian O'Connor wants a job, you make it happen. What are the chances you can go hire a Power Four coach with a national championship on his resume? Now, there's not a lot of those guys out there, right? And so you think about that aspect of it. If you can go get that guy who has been there 21 years and went to 19 NCAA tournaments, and one of the years he didn't go was the COVID year. Yeah, so in 20 tournaments, he's been 19 times, been to Omaha, three of the last four. If you can get him, it makes the search really easy. It does. Now, I'm told there's been a lot of head coach interest, and, of course, people have to – it's kind of guarded right now, right? Everybody's still playing for something. So there are some people that have interest that maybe we hadn't talked about a lot. And that's important to understand. This is going to be an evolving process. Now, we go out there and we put out a list of names that make sense to us and names that we've heard. That's what we do. There will be other candidates that will emerge later in this process. It's not like football, right? There's not as many sources on football. Now, obviously, I've been covering college baseball for a long time, and I got some people that will talk to me. But this is an evolving process, and just like, you know, when we hired Chris Simonis, he was kind of an out-of-left-field candidate. Now, it made sense after the fact. We found out that, you know, Dan McDonald, who was our primary target, recommended Simonis. And then you find out that he's originally from Starkville, and all the stars kind of aligned, and we got him, and he led us to a national championship. Super cool, right? Well, now we've moved on. And so there may be another candidate. This comes out of left field. It may not be a well-discussed candidate that ultimately gets a job. We know a lot. We don't know everything. And I will openly admit that. Covering these coaching searches is a real challenge. And I'll be honest with you. I spend a lot of time on the phones. And as I say all the time, one day it's chicken, the next day it's feathers. You know, I have worked just as hard today and not learned anything new that we didn't know. So there's not going to be an update today on Gene's page about the coaching search. It's not for a lack of effort, I can assure you. As my wife can assure you, she doesn't see me much during these times. And then, of course, we've got college baseball to cover. You know, we've still got seven regular season games, and then we've got Hoover. And then, you know, does that mean, do we have an idea then? Is this going to be a scenario that once the regular season ends, that we have a coach, possibly? Are we going to be chasing a coach that maybe is in a regional? You know, the portal opens around the country right after the regionals, that Monday after the regional. So it would be good for us, and we did it with Jeff Letby, if you recall. We had him in place ahead of the portal so we could have boots on the ground, kind of assess our needs, and then get a chance to get to work in the portal. Now, granted, it didn't help us a whole lot in year one. Jeff Lebby, of course, was a guy that was an offensive coordinator. Baseball is a little bit different, right? The portal works a little bit different. It's not as pricey in the portal. But also, too, you know, if you go get a guy that knows your recruiting footprint and knows the value of Mississippi State, they can get on the phone and say, hey, we're getting ready to go win a national championship at Mississippi State. We'd like for you to be with us, right? That is something that is not a promise, but it is a statement on our history because we've proven we can win it all. And what's so interesting to me, I had this discussion, kind of a heated discussion with a friend, you know, that was still kind of running Lamonis down. And I said, so here's the thing. Here's what you're really saying without saying it. Is that you say that Chris Lamonis wasn't a great hire. And I contend that he was. Now, the last couple of years have not gone the way we expected, and I think there is the possibility, too, that once Chris won an AFL championship, maybe we got a little comfortable, right? I think that's fair to say. Maybe we did. And it took us a little time to kind of get the portal rolling, and that's not all his fault either. There's some things that I could tell you about our portal-raising efforts in the infancy of the portal for baseball that were just completely insufficient. And so it's only been a couple of years that we've even had the NIL necessary to be very competitive in the portal, right? And so everybody says, well, you know, about 22 and 23. Well, the injury to 22, and then, you know, of course, you know, you know my thoughts about that. But the reality of it is, in the last couple of years, we kind of got things rolling. And so I think that's one of those things you can say is, well, if you think Lemonis was a bad hire and we still won the national championship, what are we going to do with a good hire? In your estimation, right? It's hard for me to say Chris Lemonis was a bad hire when he did something that not even Ron Polk or John Cohen did, or Duty Noble for that matter, or Paul Gregory. He did something that nobody had ever done at Mississippi State, won an AFL championship. So that the argument about that aspect of it is kind of thin to me. But now that we have the infrastructure in place from a portal and rev share standpoint, and if we go out and get a, quote, big-time coach, what are we capable of then? And that's what's exciting to me. What if we go get a Brian O'Connor, a guy who has been a mainstay in the NCAA tournament, and we give him better funding than he's ever had, and he has a better facility than he's ever had? So he brings his pedigree here to the greatest cathedral in all of college baseball with all of the infrastructure that we have in place to win. What can he accomplish? Now, you get the right coach, and I'm not saying it's going to be O'Connor, but that's the thing that I think about. I think this is a program that is ready to win. I think this is a fan base that is eager to win. And I think because of the fact that we are making a change, there are some people that maybe were a little reluctant to give to our NIL efforts the last couple of years. They may say, you know what, hey, I want the new coach to get off to a fast start. We want to get back to Omaha right away. We want to be hosting a regional next year. And if that requires me kind of helping out a little bit more, we're happy to do it, right? So I think we can kind of clean the slate a little bit here and everybody get on the same page and then pull in the same direction behind some new leadership. That's the important part of this. I will always be grateful to Chris Lemonis for his friendship, for winning Mississippi State an AFL championship, and for all of his contributions to Bulldog baseball and certainly all of his efforts. And the reality of that is not all of those efforts yielded the fruit expected, right? But it wasn't for a lack of effort. And I think that's the important thing that people need to understand. I can tell you that all throughout the portal, it wasn't a scenario where we're just kind of waiting for kids to come to us. State was on guys immediately. And more times than not, it was Lemonis making that introductory phone call. And it impressed a lot of kids. Multiple of our portal commitments said, you know, they've got contacted from other programs by a recruiting analyst or a coordinator or a hitting coach or a pitching coach, but more times than not, it was Chris Lemonis making the introduction. And that mattered to those kids that, hey, I'm a big enough deal that the head coach is contacting me. Maybe I need to go visit Mississippi State. And we get him on the phone, we get him on a visit, get him on campus, and hopefully they fall in love with the program. Didn't always work out for us. But again, it wasn't for a lack of effort. And again, I think all of us, we've kind of reached a point now, it's like, okay, now that we know there is going to be new leadership, we can maybe honestly reflect over where we've come and be appreciative of the good times and say, you know what, the bad times are understandable. You know, we don't accept them, but we also understand this is why we needed new leadership. And I want Mississippi State to win in every sport. And it's going to be difficult to do under this current framework. But the one sport that we have proven historically that we can compete for things on a national level is baseball. And so we cannot allow the Bulldog branding to suffer because perhaps we're not fully as invested in baseball as we should be. And to be fair about that, me and some of my friends will probably never be as invested as we all think we should be in baseball. I think Mississippi State should probably be as invested as LSU, if not more so. Right, I don't think we can expect to beat our contemporaries on the field when we're not as competitive with them off the field. Those are my feelings. You may disagree. You're running out of time if you want to take advantage of our Mother's Day special at True Rest Float Spa. We have it's been gangbusters here as of late. We have done a lot of creative advertising. It's driven a lot of traffic and selling dozens of these packages a day. And you don't have to use them immediately, right? There is a time frame on them, but you can get two floats for $99. And again, typically the first float is $65, but a regular float is $89. But you get two for $99. That can be mom can get them both, or you can split them. You know, maybe mom and daughter, maybe mom best friend, maybe mom and dad. You can all go float at the same time. You can't float in the same pods, but you can float at the same time. You need more information, reach out to my lovely wife, Dana, at 662-268-7601. She can answer your questions. Be sure and check it out. You'll be glad you did. And get more information at truerest.com. We love it, which is why we opened the business. We love Starkville, and we love floating, and we love all of you. We wanted you to have the joy of floating. And maybe you've got some chronic pain or anxiety in your life. Maybe we can help you. We've helped many others. So come by and check it out on Highway 12 right here in Starkville. You're looking for other gift ideas, visit dutynoblebook.com. You can get signed copies of all of my sports titles, plus When the Bottom Falls, a book I'm exceptionally proud of. And if you've read everything else, I encourage you to read that. I have more people that walk up and tell me that, Steve, that was your best work. And I think a lot of it's because, you know, I knew what I wanted to say. And it was very important for me to write that book. So go to dutynoblebook.com, get signed copies of everything there, and come join us over at jeanspage.com. Regular updates about the coaching search, and nobody produces more content about Mississippi State than we do. And that's more than anybody in the history of this great university. It is our passion and our job and our mission to bring you the latest and greatest information about Mississippi State athletics. Until next time, let's all live our lives in a way we make more friends than enemies and people can see a difference in the way we live.
Marriott Bonvoy is the official hotel partner of U.S. Soccer. Join Marriott Bonvoy today to get closer to the game with exclusive perks, unforgettable experiences, and benefits that go beyond the pitch. Spring Hill Suites, part of Marriott Bonvoy, offers complimentary hot breakfast and spacious all-suite accommodations, perfect for the whole team, with room for up to 6 guests. Make your next getaway a win. Learn more at springhillsuites.marriott.com.